Quick, Act Natural. Welcome to the podcast. The Act Natural podcast, that is. I'm a co-host, Nick Thaman.
And I'm the other co-host, Anthony Farriga.
And today, as judging by the title, there's only one guy here. Introduce yourself, guy.
Hey, I'm the guy. My name is Lanier Carpe.
It is Carpe.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the most commonly mispronounced name is Lanier and then Carpe.
Yeah.
What's the worst pronunciation you've seen?
Lanier. Or the lanyard that you have for your ID.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lanyard.
Because yeah. so funny story. When we recorded our last episode, I got flamed for mispronouncing one of our guests' last names. So that's why I'm asking now before I...
No, it's perfectly fine. I've been used to it my whole life, so it's not going to hurt my feelings.
So, Lanier, talk about what's the most recent thing you've performed in?
The most recent thing that I performed in will be a health commercial that I did Tuesday, April the 9th in York, PA.
Whoa.
I didn't
even
know it was in York, PA, but apparently it is.
It's the first one.
Yes. And then before that was a week prior to the 9th was a short film in Kent. It's called, I have it around.
Rinse and Repeat.
Rinse and Repeat with...
with Bella Parada.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It was on last week's episode.
And that's who I got yelled at for mispronouncing her name. Oopsie.
That is insane.
Sorry, Bella. So, what were you doing in the commercial that you recorded on the 9th?
Well, I can't speak too much about it, but it was a healthcare commercial.
It's a big secret.
And that's pretty much all I can say as a right
okay,
now.
Okay, I got you. That got that NDA.
Yeah, sorry, healthcare fandom. You're gonna just have to wait for the final drop. They keep it on lock over there. So you've done commercials, you've done short films, you have done film like feature films.
Yes.
Which is your favorite? Like on set environment, day to day. What do you have the most fun on?
I would say doing big feature films, like even as an extra, I was on many different feature films such as Cherry with Tom Holland, White Noise with, Kylo Ren, what is his name? Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
Yes, White Noise, and then American Rust was a TV series I was on there. Mm-hmm. The reason why I like doing like big stuff is because the hours are long, and they give you free food.
All right, we gotta address the elephant in the room, White Noise. So many, how many people on this pod have been on White Noise now?
It was insane.
I think three or four.
We're on our third to fourth person. What did you do on White Noise?
Well, I was on it for like...
You're like the fourth person.
Three weeks, they had me doing different things. Like I was... evacuee. I was just a lot. I was sleep on the cots. It was just like 3 weeks of them telling me what to do. Hey, do this, run through this, run through that. It was insane. There was so many. It gave so many people from like the Midwest an opportunity to really be on a big production, and it was a great way to network.
So were you stunt performing then? Is that what it sounds like? Or am I?
No, they just told me to do extra stuff.
Extra stuff.
I was just an extra, but they told me to do stuff. Like it might have been like mild stunt, but.
Do you are all of the extras like kind of aspiring actors or just, I shouldn't say aspire. Are they all actors, or are there some people are just like,
believe it or not, a lot of them just volunteered. There was a couple I met that were just there just to be there. They were just there to enjoy the time there. It was like, oh my God, I finally got to do something like this. And they were just happy to be there. They didn't want to go any further with acting. They just love to...
Just the experience?
Just the experience.
Yeah. Sounds really cool.
Thinking, I want to then ask, how did you get into acting?
Well, funny story.
Okay.
Well, I moved from North Dakota... Fargo, North Dakota, to Cleveland, Ohio, 2019, after I graduated. And it was like right after I joined the Army, my friend referred me. He was like, hey, man, there's this film going on in Cleveland. You should check it out. You should join. And then I applied for it, and I got to be an extra, and it was called Cherry. Mm-hmm. I went to my basic training, came back, and I saw it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then he referred me to Angela Bowman First Team Acting Studio, and they gave me all the acting training that I could ever think of.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your first acting, like, kind of foray was a feature film?
Yeah, that I was a featured extra. So, like, if you go and watch it, you'll see me in there. And I'm there for, like, a few seconds.
You're
but
there.
You can still see me. Yeah. So it was awesome. It was, like, an amazing experience. I got to, like, be, like, that close to, like, Tom Holland. And he was just, like, the nicest person ever. And it was just a surprise because they tell you not to meet your idols because you might be disappointed by. Mm-hmm. But he was like, he really blew that out of my mind. He was so nice and so friendly. And it was like, wow.
Real professional.
Yeah. And that's when I knew I wanted to get into acting.
Seeing Tom Holland or doing the set?
Doing the whole thing and just experiencing it.
Yeah. So for Cherry, you got on the set by being in the Army.
No, I got on a set by, my friend referred me. Apparently he was like in that sphere of acting, and he referred me, and I submitted my headshots because I didn't know what to do. I just submitted my picture. I was like, oh, you'll look great for this. Mm-hmm. The extra scenes. And then I applied, fingers crossed, and I got a call back. I was like, who is this? She was like, oh yeah, congratulations. We would like to have you on set as an extra doing this scene. I was like, wow. I thought it was a joke at first, but thankfully I got to experience that, and like I never forgot that experience, and it was just amazing feeling being on set with like important people and just awesome, awesome, talented people.
But you have been in the Army, currently?
I'm currently, I'm still in the Army. I've been in for 5 years now. I'm a wheel vehicle mechanic. I fix the wheel vehicles. I'm stationed in Stowe. It's definitely been like a life-changing experience being in the military, and I'm grateful for that.
So if you're stationed in Stowe, then is that how you got into like the Kent State like student short film scene then?
No, believe it or not, I randomly got into this the Kent State student short film scene from, because I was on set. I don't know if you know who, I can't remember her name.
Do you remember the film? Bad.
I worked with somebody who goes to Kent right now,
yeah,
but was also on White Noise. Once I find that person, I'll.
Stella Namek?
Stella. Yeah. Oh, geez. Small world, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know Stella.
No, she's awesome. They were doing like a boxing film, or they were planning to do a boxing film.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then she knew that I also was, I'm an amateur boxer in Ohio. And then she was like, oh, you'll be great for this to audition. And then I auditioned and got referred, got the part. But before then, I was reached out by Kyle
Nenadovich.
Thank you guys. We also know
Kyle.
No, I got reached out through Backstage by Kyle, and he wanted me to do a short film that he was directing.
Called After Hours.
After Hours, yeah.
I don't know if you remember, I was there for that.
No way.
No just for way. For the first day though.
I was there all the days.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, I was the sound guy. I don't know if you remember or not, but
no,
that's okay.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
It was just like a insane experience, just being in that setting. It was
a grocery store. After hours.
It was.
Oh man, that was those. That was a long night.
That's actually just that's just what happens at Acme after they close.
Yep.
Yeah. It was awesome.
People die.
I got to meet a lot of people. I network and then.
Yeah,
that was actually
a fun set. I did like that one.
So
shout out Kyle.
Cherry What part of the military? Cherry's about the military, right?
Yes. If I'm being completely honest, I just fast forwarded to my parts to see like me on screen. I didn't watch the whole thing, but
that's awesome.
I watched like bits of it leading to like where I was in as an extra. But then, when I watched a little bit of it, it was pretty fun. I think he was gearing up to go to the military. I saw the scene where they shaved his head or something. But
Do you feel like, as someone who's been through basic and all that, you said that's portrayed in the film?
Yes, a little bit.
How accurate was that, do you feel?
I feel like it was pretty accurate. I know for a fact that some of the people that were casted into the film were actually military people. Mm. Like the drill sergeants were actually real military drill sergeants. Mm. So it was pretty accurate in a sense. So it was awesome seeing that in like the film.
That's so cool. That's sorry. Pretty neat.
Sorry.
Anthony's on his phone.
No, sorry. I got a text message. Anyways, now that I've awkwardly... I'm going to ask a question now. What's the best food you've ever had on a set?
It would be from White Noise. White Noise, it was like every day would be like new food. They had catering from like this big catering company. So every day we were on set, it was just different gourmet style food. It was just awesome. I was like, ooh, what is this? I couldn't pronounce half of it, but I was like, I want that.
And then I've also heard that there was a coffee truck too for White Noise.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan of coffee, but there might have been. There was like, it was just a huge production.
That was what Katie Boissonneau said to us. I don't know if you know who she is.
She was also on, she was a costume PA.
Oh, nice.
For White Noise, and she was also on our podcast.
No, that was awesome.
There's stuff, Cleveland's...
Cleveland's like definitely up, like getting up there. I know before White Noise was... I think Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
With Daniel...
Kaluuya,
yes. And I think Angela Baum was heading casting for that as well. So it was...
Angela
Baum.
Baum?
Like first team in Angela Baum casting.
Okay. Is that like a... Do they kind of take care of like the Cleveland like local...
Yes. She is a big casting director in like the... Ooh. Northeast Ohio, and I believe she also does Kentucky as well. So any major production, she's usually like the head of that from what I know.
Yeah.
And she also offers I'm not doing like a sponsorship, but she also offers amazing like acting classes for people who want to get into acting more. She offers it, and it's just not underground stuff, but she has a lot of amazing talented actors from like Los Angeles, New York, and everything to, you know, teach the courses there.
Yeah. When you were working on films like White Noise and Cherry, what was your call time? Like, how early did you have to wake up?
Wow. The call time was insane. It was like 15, 16 hour days. Ooh. It was insane. I remember I had to be, at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Now I won't leave until like 8 or 9 PM and then coming in the next day and repeat it. Or sometimes you'll be there from like noon to like 3 in the morning just to get like the perfect like lighting. And it was just, it was fun though. Cause, you're not the only one going through it. It's like other people as well. You make so much, I made like so many different like connections just by being there those like couple of days. It was just like an experience that I can't take for granted, even though it kind of sucked a little bit. But.
When you say when you make connections on that set, do you mean like with the other like actors slash extras, or were you making connections with like the crew too?
I made connection with the crew. They're very, really nice. And a lot of the extras and the actors that were... that did have speaking roles. I made connections with them, talked to them, picked their brain a little bit. Like, how long have you been doing this? What have you worked on? And then, surprisingly, they've been in this act industry for like 15, 20 years. And just hearing their opinion of it was just awesome.
Because I asked this because one thing that we've talked about before on this podcast is that how, at least especially in like student films, it's very easy for the people who are making and working on movies, like the director and producer and all that, to, you know, essentially kind of, I mean, they'll know each other because we're all in like our classes together. Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of like a tendency to treat the actors who are working on our films as almost essentially like props, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you've ever experienced that as like the actor, especially, I mean, again, more so on like the student film side of stuff?
No. I'll take an example of working in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
They treated, with the previous stuff that I work on, they treated me amazingly. Like, they always ask me, oh, how are you doing? Are you feeling okay? Do you need water? Do you want extra snacks or something like that? They're like very considerate of everything. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah. No, but they're really respectful. That's why I prefer coming to Kent. I go to Cleveland State. Okay. I've been offered to work on films. At the same time, I've been offered to work on films here, but I prefer working in Kent because I just like the environment.
Really? That's interesting. How do you get on commercials?
Well,
I mean, I imagine through casting director, but
is it? No, like, the best way to, there's like many different ways to do many different things, but the thing that I found to be like most efficient is getting signed by talent agencies, because they're well connected. They'll get you like commercials if, you know, the casting director wants you, but they'll put you out there. Or you could go through Facebook groups, but those would probably be like smaller projects.
Yeah.
Like a local, whatever, a dentist wants to shoot commercial of like two people, but going through your talent agencies will be the best way to really get big stuff.
What are the pros and cons to as a performer going through a talent agency?
Well, the con would definitely be I'll start with that. The con would be it's such a huge pool of people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm signed with the Heyman Talent Group.
Yeah.
They probably have like 1,000, 2,000 plus people in the roster. So it's like they can't really coach you on what to do or how certain things could be done. And they might be a little bit slow in responding to like your email or text. So that would be a definite con for me. But in terms of the pro, they definitely give you that opportunity to put yourself out there more, and it just looks better to say, oh, I'm signed with so and so and so, instead of being like, I'm signed with nobody and I got a notepad with all my experience.
It does look nice on the email signature to have talent agency under.
Yes, it definitely helps you out a little bit in terms of your credibility, because not everybody is signed and not everybody can be signed. It takes a lot of like work to get in from the talent agency, audition. It's very nerve-wracking.
You have to audition for the talent agency?
You have to audition for the talent agencies. I've auditioned for at least like 10, 20 different talent agencies. I've gotten no's so many times. And I just kept like every 6 months, I'll keep like auditioning and like being, hey, I feel like I'm ready. And then I remember I drove like 3 hours to Columbus I'm not going to say the talent agency's name, and did an audition. I felt like I did great, but they're really honest with me. They're like, oh, we don't think you're ready. Just take time, go through the classes, practice acting, and then come back 6 months from now. And then
that's nice.
I auditioned about 8 months afterwards, and then I finally got in. But it showed like the level of improvement. But
that's so much better than just a note, than just a nothing email. Like just not. Just
yeah, you'll hear no's more than you hear yes. You gotta be like passionate about acting to really stick with it, and like a little bit crazy to hear no's constantly.
How do you then? Maybe not necessarily, let's not talk about specifically from talent agencies, but like if you keep getting no's from like casting directors or you're applying for films and TV shows and all that, like how do you keep yourself motivated is what I'm trying to get at. From like the heart, like I'm getting rejection after rejection.
Rejection after rejection. For me, because I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
For me specifically, I have a goal, and my goal is to improve as much as I can and to be able to work on as many projects as possible. So I have that goal, and I want to achieve it by constantly applying for stuff. No matter how many no's I hear, there's bound to be like a few people that say yes. Mm-hmm. And just keep practicing, because practice makes perfect. I know that's a little bit cheesy to say, but just keep practicing, because you might not see your improvement, but other people will. Just no matter if you get rejected for audition, at least you had the experience to do the audition.
Yeah.
And that will be practice. Even if you don't get it, at least you're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will definitely improve your skills a little bit.
Do you watch yourself like in things you've been in? Because in Cherry specifically, you watched only what you're in, which is awesome. But like in things when you're like in the more local, like Kent stuff, when you have a larger, more prominent role, do you have a hard time watching your own performance, or what is that like for you?
Well, the future film that I did like about a year ago, I got like to see just my scene, and like it's just for me especially, it's just a little bit difficult for me to watch myself perform, because I'm hypercritical of myself.
Yep.
Because just watching myself back, I'd be like, oh, I sound awful, or like, I could have done that better. Mm-hmm. It's just like hypercritical stuff that like I tend to do or say. It's just like, I can't watch myself for like very long, because I'm like, I could always do something better.
You are your own worst critic.
I know. It's horrible. I'm trying to get better at that by like easing into it now, but.
That's all right, because we as filmmakers also experience the same thing too. After,
dude, I can't watch the stuff I make after it's done. It's like,
yeah, just hearing your own voice or like seeing yourself on screen is just like, you're so hypercritical, but no matter if you're doing good or bad, you're just always like that. It's weird. I'm trying to break that habit.
What is like the most common role? Do you feel like there's a typecasting in student films? Do you feel like you play a particular role often?
From like the stuff that I've done, I don't think I'm just from the production I've done or the stuff that I've done in Kent, I don't think I'm typecasted. Could I did a boxing film, and then from like a boxing film to a hyper emotional film about men's mental health, Rinse and Repeat, which is I'm intimidating and I'm
a killer.
So like I feel like it's kind of like a broad range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily I'm not like typecasted.
That's awesome. What's your favorite role to play, or what's a role that you have always wanted to play?
My favorite roles to play is just deep roles where I get to express myself emotionally, and just hardcore stuff, like just as in I'm being like a bad guy. I really can't do like happy, super happy, upbeat stuff. Okay. When I'm smiling for 8 hours, I just can't do that, because that's super draining to me. So I prefer doing like more emotionally challenged stuff instead of like super happy.
Well, lucky for you, student films are never happy. So they're always sad, or they end in tragedy or whatever.
I like that. I feel like that's. I enjoy doing that more than
me
happy
too.
Stuff.
It's so much more interesting.
I know. Instead of like smiling all day, like yep. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the farthest you've ever had to travel for a role?
The furthest I ever had to travel for a role. How far is Buffalo, New York from me? Is it 2 hours?
I'd say probably, yeah, 2 to 2.5. I'd say, give or take.
How far is Louisville, Kentucky from me?
Probably about Four. You're gonna know
then the farthest I ever traveled was York, PA. That was a
that was
a 6 hour drive, but yeah. A solid 6 hour drive.
Yeah, because York is by like the a little bit outside the Philly area, right?
Yes, it's about an hour and a half, I think, away from Philly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would probably be like the furthest I ever had to travel. I'm trying to.
What was the call time?
Well, I have it right here. The call time for that was 8 a.m. So.
And it's a 6 hour drive.
It's a 6 hour drive. So I believe I left at like around 1 ish, 1 in the morning. I had like 2 hours of sleep, drove there, and then drove back that same day. So it was about 12 hour
round trip.
But I felt great afterwards.
I'm glad you felt great.
Yeah, that's good. That's what matters.
I could not imagine doing that.
No, it's just certain things you have to do. I especially want to like break in more into like the Pennsylvania market.
Okay.
I have two agencies in the Pennsylvania market, but networking is something that I want to do more. So that was just the cost of doing business, I guess.
Yeah. Can I ask a question then? Can you be, I guess, represented by multiple talent agencies then?
Yes, as long as they're not. You can.
Okay.
But it's just, they have to talk to each other because for me, I'm signed with Talent Group, which represents the north part of Ohio, and Heyman Talent Group, which represents like the south part of Ohio. So you can represent, work with two different agencies in the same market, but they just have to be with different like projects.
Yeah, I was curious.
Yeah, for me, Talent Group also covers Pennsylvania, and I'm signed with its model and talent, but they represent the other half of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
What is it about the PA market specifically, Pennsylvania? I shouldn't say PA. What is it about the Pennsylvania market that you feel? I guess I'm wondering. Obviously, there's more stuff there, but is it Cleveland level of productions going on there? Like,
what's the appeal?
I'm not too sure. The way I view it as the more opportunities I get, them. The better it is.
That's a good one.
The more opportunity, the better it is.
It's a good answer.
And by just going out there and like being present and networking.
Yeah.
Even if it's with just extras that are working on the production that I'm in, or main cast that are working on production, I can at least talk to them. Like, hey, I'm an actor. I'm in Cleveland. If you guys know any opportunities coming up, please let me know. Like with the director. From this healthcare commercial, he was an awesome person to work with, and he thanked me for my professionalism. He told me that if there's any upcoming projects, he would definitely reach out to me first before going through like another agency.
That's so nice to hear. Yeah.
So it's definitely great to network. My buddy, he's been hounding me about that. He's big into networking. Mm. He's been doing it for a while. He's networked so much that he's gotten into different circles. He's working with this big director. I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
And they're planning on doing a film, and they want to cast him as one of the roles.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's like a great opportunity for him. And I overlooked networking a little bit, but he's been like telling me, hey, man, you should really start looking into that. And another big thing... would be Facebook groups. I don't know if a lot of people know about the different Facebook groups in like the areas. If you're trying to break into a certain market, you could type in on Facebook, Louisville, Kentucky acting or film groups, mm-hmm. or like Pennsylvania film groups, or Northern Ohio film groups. I've gotten opportunities to audition in different markets, like as in the Michigan markets, just from being Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Would that be your advice for anybody who is trying to get into acting, or anything, or do you have something else you would want to add to that too?
Well, it's definitely there's two things that I will, three things.
Okay.
we'll get
just start.
I'll just start talking. But it would definitely be to look for as many talent agencies as you can mm-hmm. possibly look for, and just audition to get yourself out there. Even if they say no, you could always apply 6 months or a year later. But just keep going after different talent agencies, no matter if it's in different states. Just try to apply for them. Right now, I'm representing Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and Pennsylvania.
Damn, the tri-state area.
Yeah, and I'm trying to break in more in the Michigan area. But just by auditioning, I've heard like probably 1,000 different no's. And
oh, man.
Just a handful of yes, but those yes means so much, so much to me. Cause like just when you're like about to give up, it's just that one yes means a whole lot. So just apply for different agencies, just research talent agencies in my area or talent agencies in Indiana, talent agencies in Michigan. And even if you're not signed, a great way to start acting, if you want to get into acting, is looking at casting websites such as the Casting Network is a great one. I booked through them as well.
It's called the Casting Network?
The Casting Network.
Okay.
Just Google it. You'll find this a great, great casting website to look for jobs. And what is another one? Backstage is a huge one too. I booked a few stuff through Backstage. Backstage definitely will recommend that. And the Casting Network is also an amazing place to get opportunities. I've gotten opportunities to audition for big projects, and unfortunately I didn't get any of the big projects, but just to have that exposure to be able to get like a huge project mm-hmm. was an experience for me.
With Backstage, when making an account on Backstage, they ask for your special skills. I want you to talk about your special skills, Anthony. You've got the special skills up.
Yeah, because you got them listed on your resume. Some of them are because we already talked about this, because I noticed that it said you were in the U.S. Army. So
yes,
I guess that is considered a special skill.
Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of that thing. I put the U.S. Army because people think Army, they think, weapons training or mm-hmm. just
combat.
Discipline, combat, all that stuff, and which is true.
But you do also, you have stage combat.
I do have stage combat.
A lot of your stuff is very athletic, like
yes.
boxing, MMA, kickboxing, MMA? Basketball, football, running, dancing, weightlifting.
Yes. All that stuff I did, I love...
That's just some of them.
I love physical activity, so I... I'm an amateur boxer. I wrestled in high school. I played football. I did soccer. I did track and field. I just like physical activity. So I just, when I did the special skills, I just wanted to put as many things as possible or like something I might be good at that I could learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not the best dancer, but if it comes down to it that there's a project that requires me to dance in the scene and it gave me enough time, like 3-4 months to learn, then I'll... Of course, I could learn how to dance.
Because we've learned that as an actor, you should put down as many special skills as you can on your like resume. Is that mm-hmm. true?
That is true. Because what I learned from a few people is you could always learn things to do it just to be proficient at it.
Yeah,
and you don't have to be like an expert at it unless mm-hmm. they ask for it, but. Like, I want to say snowboarding. I did a audition for a commercial that required me to snowboard. I went to
Did they film you snowboarding like on a mountain?
No. I auditioned for it. I didn't get it, but
oh.
I went to a ski resort uh-huh. or a ski place, and I practiced how to snowboard. I was there for like 2 hours and until I got decent at it. Mm-hmm. I had never snowboarded before, but I was there for like 2 hours just learning. And then when I finally got like to a point where I felt confident enough, I slapped a GoPro on my head and then, you know, record myself snowboarding. I sent that in. I didn't get it, but at least I got like to mm-hmm. experience that. And
you got a snowboard.
I was decent enough that it felt it, that it was believable. Yeah. So you always have time to learn, even if it's something that you might not particularly be.
Yeah. As, have you snowboarded after?
No. That was a once in a lifetime experience. No, snowboarding is difficult. It was definitely like a fun experience, but it was extremely difficult to learn.
Oh man. So you know MMA?
Yes. When I moved to Ohio, I left wrestling behind me. I wanted to get into combat sport. So for like a year and a half, I tried different things from like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, kickboxing, MMA, Muay Thai. I tried all that stuff. And like boxing, I was doing all that stuff. I used to spend a lot of my time just in the gym 2-3 times a day. And then I stuck with one thing because I wanted to get better at boxing. So I cut off everything else and just primarily focused on boxing. But I still have that experience mm-hmm. that I can use as a special skill.
Yeah. Have you ever had to use these special skills for defense?
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately. But it's just good to have it. It's just...
You're locked and loaded?
Yeah, just in case. But I love combat. It's just a passion of mine.
Have you ever done stage combat with like a weapon, like a sword or something? Or is it all... Is it usually just like fist to fist, fist to cuffs?
I don't know if you're familiar with Paragon. Paragon Fitness. Paragon. It's this gym that you could go to.
Okay.
They teach you combat and they also teach you stage combat. This amazing person that I met, his name is Matt Kane. He instructs at Paragon. He's worked on many different projects as well, and he wants to teach more people how to do combat and stage combat as well. And working with him was just amazing. He taught me how to fall. He taught me how to use different weapons. When I came into it, I was like a hard ass. I was like, yeah, I've been fighting for this long, I'll be awesome. But it came down to it that actual combat is completely different from stage combat or on-camera combat. Because you have to exaggerate certain things, use different camera angles, fake punching people instead of real punching people. But it was just an amazing experience to go through, just learning different like ways to punch people without actually hurting them or yeah. falling from like a distance or getting thrown.
Do you prescribe to a particular method of acting? Like the schools that you went to, was it Stanislavski or
Meisner,
or do you just kind of are you more vibes based?
For me, I was taught like different style of acting. When I was at Tri-C, I took acting classes with my professor. She wanted me to get into Stanislavski style of acting. But I just, for me, I like to not be so technical with stuff. But my main thing is try to get into how the character feels, how they think, or like, what would they do? Just try to build a broad understanding of how the character would be. Mm-hmm. So I can be able to portray it the best that I can.
Do you ever come up with like extra backstory for your character to help like kind of get into that mode?
Oh, I would say a little bit, especially for like this film I did and the future film I did in Kentucky. It's an adaptation of Oscar Wilde, Salome. So it's old English.
Oh, okay.
So that I had to practice old English for like weeks just to be able to say the lines, and like I would I'll walk around in my house just speaking it like the whole day. And that definitely like put me into like the mindset like, oh, this is me. I'm this character. So that just being
the
in
twisted
that
twisted and deranged mind of an Englishman.
Yes. Just being that character for like days on end would like help me really get into like the.
Makes it easier to make decisions on the fly.
Yes.
Do you ever feel like though that you've like after you've done being a character for a film or whatever, do you ever feel like it like leaks into your actual life?
A little bit.
In the Wendy's drive thru, like, can I get thine baconator, my lord?
I've definitely found myself saying like after I was done with that film, I was speaking weird for like about a few days. But it's interesting just getting wrapped in the character and how they'll act. You definitely cross path with your personal like personality as well.
What have you done, like theater, like stage performance? Besides, you did the Old English one.
Yeah, with my I did a performance in theater, but I haven't done like a, because what I took in Tri-C, I took camera acting and a bit of theater. I didn't do a whole play, but I did a few performances. It's completely different. It's so, theater is like so difficult because it's go, go, go. You can't mess up anything. So you don't have that luxury as it is with on-camera acting, where if you mess up, you can always redo it.
Yeah.
If you mess up in theater, you just gotta keep going.
I
found out to be like doing theater was more intensive in terms of I had to memorize the whole script front and back and do it without making any mistakes. And that really like that really drained me afterwards. I was like, I don't think theater is for me.
So camera acting is kind of always where you've wanted to, or I shouldn't say always, but camera acting is where you're happy with
that
direction.
It's your forte.
Yes, I prefer camera acting. I've turned out a bunch of theater auditions because it was just like a extremely difficult like opportunity for me to do theater, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed the experience and I got to see what it was like performing in front of a bunch of people on stage trying, like just thinking in your head, God, please don't mess up. Please don't mess up.
In doing these performances and in theater acting, have you ever had to cry on command?
Yes. I'm going to go back to the future film I did in Kentucky. I did have to cry for a scene, but the scene was long. It was like a 3 minutes scene of just me crying, and we did like 20 takes.
Oh my God.
At first, I actually had to get into like the mindset of just crying, and I cried for like two scenes, and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I had an assistant with, there's these things you could get off of Amazon. They're called tear sticks. They help you cry. It's like menthol. You rub it underneath your eyes. Whoa. And it just constantly makes your eyes water. But it burns. So I wouldn't recommend using it if you're not comfortable with that. But
what's the funniest place you could go with those like attached to your face? Going into the Wendy's drive-thru again, but you have the menthol tear sticks. You're like, thanks.
Nick.
Can I get the milkshake too?
Nick, do you want Wendy's? Is that what's happening?
No, I went to Wendy's yesterday.
You could probably get away with that. Just put it on your eye. Like, I promise I have money. I just left my wallet at home. Please.
So I'm gonna change gears a little bit. We've on this podcast, we've also talked about this phenomenon with No, not that. Okay.
Sorry.
Anyways, I'm gonna say phenomenon again about where after a film is done, the actor doesn't get it afterwards. Like the director or producer never just sends the final product to the actor. Has that ever happened to you? Have you never seen anything that you've been in solely because you've actually just never have gotten the final thing?
I would say it wouldn't be mainly with like the films, but the commercials that I've done, never, ever seen any of them. And that's, I don't know if it was like miscommunication, but with the commercials that I've done, I'm just speaking for myself. I've never seen like any of the takes of it.
Are they, when you guys film, when I'm thinking filming commercials, I'm thinking you're in a studio in a big white void. Is that, was that the case? Or is it like?
No, no. A lot of commercials I've done was outside. It was outside in the open, in the public. Like the healthcare one I did, it was like just outside. And like the people were driving by just staring. There a lot of people like stopped to see what we were doing. They were like interrupt the production.
They
like,
must making something.
What are you guys making? And I have had many times with people just come up to me. They came up to me a few times, like, hey, what are you guys doing? Or like they give me the business card, like, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. It's like, but it's all of them has been out, have been outside. And,
Are commercial sets, is there a different vibe on set compared to like a narrative? Or does it, is it like, are all sets kind of just like, they're all sets?
With the commercial set, they're definitely a little bit more like fast paced.
I would
say in terms of you go there, you, it's like go, and then you probably break for lunch and then go, because they try to get the commercials done as soon as possible, probably like that day or the next day. But most of my commercials have been done in like 1 or 2 days or so.
That's actually really insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, commercials aren't, there's like 30 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yeah. So they try to get everything.
But even then, I feel like you should, I would imagine that like you'd have like a week to maybe like edit it and be, have it then go out. But I don't know, man. I've never worked on a commercial. The only commercials I've ever made are for TV too.
Yeah.
See what's up. Sorry.
See what's up. What's costuming is a really core part of acting and performing. I want to know, what is your favorite costume that you've gotten to wear for anything, whether that be extra, lead? What's your, have you ever had to dress like a robot?
No, unfortunately, I did a Ford commercial in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Was it
like the real,
a month and a half ago?
Oh wow!
And I had to dress up like I was in like the early 70s, or where people were dressing like that. Like,
it's a period piece.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had like to do makeup. It was weird because I don't do makeup outside of acting. So
yeah,
they put like blush on me or whatever it's called, and they did my hair.
Do you usually? Sorry, let me rephrase this question. Was that like the first time you've ever had like makeup done on you on a set, or has that happened to you in the past?
That happened to me. When I was, I don't know if you guys know about Rustin. I mean, not Rust. What is it called? Yes, Rustin is recently released on Netflix. But I was an extra, and it has Chris Rock. I had to also dress as if I was going through like the civil rights era.
Mm.
So I was dressed super old with the old like outfits and stuff. It was fun. That was mainly in a big studio, and there was a lot of green screen.
Got you.
But you didn't hear that from me.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience. Just being across from like these hyper famous people like Chris Rock, it was just an amazing experience. Just looking at them is like, I'm really here.
Wait, hold on. That's really, it's really cool how many sets you've been on, how many larger actors you've been around. This is such a stupid question. Was this before or after the Oscars?
Oh, this was I think it was a little bit before. When did the Oscar slap happen?
2022, I want to say.
2022. This was a little bit before then. It was a little bit before because it takes like a year or two
for BS before slap.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Just being across from like famous people that you never think you'll ever meet. But my favorite person, I would say, was Tom Holland.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it weird seeing a famous person like in real life and being taller than them?
Well, I didn't know Tom Holland was gonna be that short. When I first met him, I was on stage and on set, I mean, and they were like, "Oh, he's coming!" Everybody quiet on set, and I was like, "Where is he?" And I looked down. But he was extremely nice. He was an awesome dude to be around. I didn't really get to talk to him much, but he was just kind of like, it was an amazing experience to be there, like right next to him.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm getting starstruck a little bit right now.
No, people were going insane. They're like, oh my God. But for me, it's just like meeting a. It's just like meeting a regular person on the street. Yeah.
It's a coworker.
Yeah. But it was also like awesome to meet them. I wouldn't like lose my S about it, but it was an awesome experience.
It's okay, you can swear, but
on White Noise did you share any scenes with Adam Driver?
No, but
Greta Gerwig?
No. Where I was like sitting, it was like 10 steps down were them performing a scene. I was in the back and the camera was on them. They got kind of like upset because people were just like staring at them. And like, I think
the Adam Driver
kind of upset. He told like the crew, hey, everybody stop staring at him.
I get that.
Because they were like in like the scene, I think it was about like 100 people in there, and they were all just staring at him, just performing and seeing. It was so many different eyes, and I was guilty too. I was staring at him too. I was like, "This is awesome," mm-hmm. but I do understand it. It's definitely nerve wracking when mm-hmm. everybody's staring at you.
Yeah,
it
puts the pressure on.
Yeah. Adam Driver. He was also in the military.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like. He got out of the military. I don't know if he went to Juilliard or...
I have no idea.
But he was in the military, joined the army afterwards. I mean, he started acting afterwards.
You're the new Adam Driver.
No, I don't think
so. Same trajectory.
I wish that I get the opportunity to work with him, Tom Holland, or Denzel Washington in the future. Mm. Or even, what's his name? Creed? Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, I hope to get the opportunity to work with one of them in the future.
Share a scene.
All right, I'm going to pitch a would you rather question to you.
Okay, I'm excited.
Would you rather work with a egotistical director, so they know pretty much they just want you to do exactly what they tell you to do, or would you rather work with a director who kind of just does not, just kind of like, well, I don't know, do whatever?
Yeah.
That's tough. That is tough. Because
have you been in those situations?
No, everybody I worked with were like super like professional. They would give me instructions like, we want this, or like they would tell me a vision, and then I'll try to make it happen. And then I get their opinion like, hey, what did you think about that? Is there anything you think I could like change or adjust to fit your what you want to go for? So there was like a partner thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But in terms of that.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the egotistical director because at least they'll be giving me instructions on how they want their vision to be portrayed instead of me just come up with anything.
Yeah.
And like, it is what it is.
That's like the slightly more common answer, I think.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, because I don't want to like lead their projects because that's too much pressure for me.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm leading it. I at least want them to give me like a vision or like some type of direction so I could be able to try to make it happen.
Hmm. What's the latest you've had to stay up for a shoot?
The latest I had to stay up for a shoot.
Because there was the one that went to 3, I think.
Yes, it definitely have been, it was just extra work at doing White Noise. I think it was like 3 in the morning.
Hmm.
And then having to break in and come back like at 8 or 9 in the morning. Yeah. That was probably the latest. It was definitely an experience. I don't like regret doing it. It was mm-hmm. I got to meet so many people. It was just crazy.
Crazy.
That was crazy once.
That was crazy once.
I was like in a rubber room.
Do we have any other questions for Lanier?
Do you have anything? Yeah. Do you have anything you want to like say that we have not talked about yet?
Well, I would definitely recommend networking thing would be definitely a huge thing. It was to put yourself out there more. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like talking to others, but
we're raising our hands.
I'm kind of like the same way a little bit, but just talking to people, getting their experience, or like just talking to people who are in the position you want to be in is definitely helpful because they can give you insights or shortcuts into how to get there faster or how to be more proficient at auditioning or just getting more roles or mm-hmm. how to act better, like do this instead of this, pronounce your words better instead of like mumbling or eye contact instead of like looking everywhere. So they could definitely give you tips and pointers and definitely do acting class. Be a part of some type of acting class, either it's with Angela Baumhoff or HUD School of Acting. Just be in an acting program so that will progress your skill level because it humbles you. Mm-hmm. Many people that are around, like echo chambers, people tell them, oh, you're awesome, you're amazing at this, you should try this, and then you're not as good as you think. But yeah, definitely being like the acting class with people who have been in the industry for like years, they'll be like, you're okay, but you're not as good as you think. Or like
it's good to hear that.
For me, it was like I thought I was like decent at least, but definitely having my acting instructor tell me that I need a lot of improvement. Mm-hmm. Definitely like made me more determined to.
Yeah, it's motivating.
Yeah, to keep practicing, and it is, you can't have enough practice, so just keep doing it, keep auditioning. Even if you don't get it, you get the practice in. You get the practice from doing that audition. Look at Facebook groups. Facebook groups are important. Get
on Facebook.com.
Get on Facebook and try to apply for different agencies.
Actually, it's called Meta now.
No. The company's called Meta. It's still called Facebook.com.
I think he got a point right there.
Anthony made a rude gesture. I just thought of another question.
Okay.
Has acting made you, learning how to act, has it made you a better liar?
Ooh, I think I'm going to get in trouble for that. Acting has definitely made me, oh God.
You can just say, I mean, if the answer is yes, you can just say yes. Well, I'm not elaborating.
Yes. Acting has made me a better liar a little bit because I'm able to say things without like giving away through like different facial features. Like, mm-hmm. like some people lie and they squint their eyes, or some people lie and like they
have certain tics.
Hell. Yeah. So, and it makes it obvious that they're lying or like, no, I didn't do that. But acting definitely play like a little role in making me a better liar, which is not a good thing, no. But it's not a horrible thing.
No. I've always just wondered. I'm like, I mean, because it's all about controlling how you present your emotions and objectives, basically.
Yeah.
And so you could use that for good or you could use it for evil.
Yeah, it'll improve your lying skills. I wouldn't recommend lying, but.
Yeah, always tell the truth, guys.
Always tell the truth.
All right. Anyways, do you want to plug your socials or
where can people find you, Lenny?
Where can you find you? Are you working on any upcoming projects? You know, whatever.
Well, I am trying to get into. I don't even know if I should tell you. So it's in the development stage. There's two major projects that I'm auditioning for, like working with directors on.
Okay.
One is supposed to be like a $2 million budget project, and the other one is about a famous college football player who passed away playing football. Mm. That hopefully I get, but the director is still working with their foundation to get this project made. Mm. Okay. So hopefully I get an opportunity to put his vision to work. But I'm also a real estate agent.
Oh.
So I guess I should plug my information now.
Yeah.
If you are interested in investing, buying, or just to look to see if what you could afford, or just to get out the rat race into putting money into a property that builds equity, just contact me. You can find me on Facebook or as at Lanier Carpe or Instagram as Lane the Wrestler, all one word. Or just contact me through my phone number. It's 701-306-6749. We could talk and plan an investment opportunity for you or just build equity through investing or just buying your first home.
And you...
Dang. You really you got the full kind of skill tree.
Yeah, for me, I have to do like different things constantly. Just doing one thing over and over again just drives me insane. So I'll do like boxing one day, doing acting the next, and then other stuff. It just keeps me like going, but
stay fresh.
Yes.
And you can follow us on Instagram at ActNaturalPod because there is no set cast on our show, unless if you count us the hosts.
No, we don't count.
Okay, there is no set cast. Anyways, that's all. Hear you later.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.